Well, good evening. It is good to be with you, and thank you for the opportunity and the warm welcome tonight to be able to share a little bit about the work of ACRI International, ACRI Gospel Mission. We often say the farmers call us acre. I just wish I had a few of their acres, all right? But we really are thrilled to be here tonight with you and see so many familiar faces as well here in the congregation. Can I say at the very beginning, thank you for so many people in this church that pray for the work of ACRI and have done for many years and stand with us in the work. And I know the church supports us financially as well, and we again really do appreciate that very, very much, and want to say thank you to you tonight for doing that. We're going to just read a couple of verses together. They're on the screen, or the part of it's on the screen there, found in Romans chapter 10. Just beginning to read at verse 9 of the chapter. Romans chapter 10, and beginning to read at verse 9. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17 also says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that God will bless just those few verses to our hearts this evening. And what a privilege it is for our mission over 82 years now to take the message of the gospel to a world, to many people who have never heard. And as we look back over 82 years, we have so much to give thanks to the Lord for. The Lord has done great things for us, the psalmist says, whereof we are glad. And certainly as a mission, as we look back, we can say the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now, I don't know where this is going to work. I'll just click it and then you're going to push the button. That's great. These are just some of the missionaries that we have working for us and with us in our mission. Brazil, Portugal, and the Canary Islands. And we're so thankful to the Lord for each one of them and for the part that they play in the work. The McCombs, whenever they started the mission all those years ago, went to Brazil not to start a mission, but to take the gospel to the interior part, to the jungle, to the green hell, as it was called in those days, of the ACRI state of Brazil. And their prayer was that God would raise up Brazilian people, national people, to take over the work. They know the language, they know the culture, and all the rest of it, and we're very thankful that God has answered that prayer in the salvation of many of those national folk, and again, we'll talk about some of them tonight as we go on. Thank you. You need to do a couple of clicks. As most of you will know, I get to lots of churches that know nothing about ACRI, and I know a lot of you folk here do know about the mission that we work. The work started in Brazil, spread to Portugal, and then to the Canary Islands, to Lanzarote, and of course here at home in Northern Ireland. Just keep clicking. Yes, thank you. I'm going to take you on a worldwide tour very quickly tonight. We're going to go through all of the countries and just share a little bit of news from all of them, just to encourage you, to help you to pray for the work and to stand with us in the work and to see the great need that there is still in these countries. Again, I've shared here many times in the midweeks as well about the work of ACRI and shared a lot about the work in Portugal. And Portugal is such a needy, needy country. Those European countries, France and Spain and Portugal and so on, Italy and so on, are very needy countries. In Portugal itself, there are just nearly 11 million people. And less than 1% of the population of Portugal are evangelical or classed as evangelical. That means there's a lot of people tonight that are lost without Christ and need a Savior. I want you to think of that. So many people that have never once heard the message of the gospel. As we drive through Portugal quite often, we drive through village after village and town after town with absolutely no gospel witness whatsoever. You think of this village of Ajojo and the evangelical churches you have here, and there's no evangelical witness or no evangelical people that we know of in many of those villages and towns. And one of the desires that we have in the areas that our missionaries work is to take the gospel into villages and just go from village to village and distribute literature in the villages, that every home in those villages will have a copy of the Word of God or a copy of part of the Word of God, whether it's a Gospel of John or a Gospel of Luke or some other literature, that they'll have them, whether it's DVDs or CDs with testimonies on it, that God will use those to open the hearts of people. Again, it's said here that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're praying as the word of God gets into these people's hands, that as they read it, it gets into their hearts, and the seed of the word of God, as we water it with our prayers, will come to fruition in lives. Thank you. In the Algarve, in the south of Portugal, we have a team there. Mark and Judith Loney are working there. They do the international side of the work, the English-speaking side of the work there in the church. I'm sure many of you have been to Portugal for your holidays. Maybe some have visited the church there in Vale Judeo, Valley of the Jews, outside Vilamoura, not very far from Vilamoura. And there, as I said, Mark and Judith are responsible for the English side of the work. Barry and Raquel Henry are responsible for the Portuguese side of the work. And we are just thanking the Lord that each Sunday afternoon, that as the Portuguese folk come to that service, that it's been growing and growing and growing. They started off in the church as an international service where they put on headphones and somebody translated into Portuguese for them in the English services. Then Barry and Raquel came about 5 years ago and they started a separate Portuguese service. They had about 20 people in the church. Now, a big, big church. You'll see a photograph of it in a moment or two. And they had 25 people sitting. And it's so big that they were lost in it. And so just last year, they opened a new hall. It was an old shed, an old building that was outside the main church building. And they renovated that and made a lovely hall there. And there they meet in there. But thank the Lord, it's getting too small now. Because they have over 50 that are coming to that service now. Folk are coming to the Lord. They're coming from the local area, hearing the gospel and coming to know Christ and coming in and joining the church there, that Portuguese side of the church. So please pray for Barry and Raquel as they reach out to the community around Vale Judeo and as they see souls come to know Christ as their Savior. Glenn Bowden, he also works with us. Glenn is a single worker. We haven't got him a wife yet. We're looking for one, but somebody said that her mother's dead and she's not born yet, so you can understand that, I think. Glenn works with the young people, thank you, and the children there in the church. They have camps that are going on there also. They have 3 weeks of camps in the summer called Camp Sunshine. And Camp Sunshine has, this last year, just around 300 children coming over the 3 weeks of camp. We're very thankful again to the Lord for what God is doing there through that camp ministry. They come from all different society, all levels of society, those children. Maybe I've told the folk here before, there's a young fellow who comes whose father is a billionaire diamond miner. Are there any of them in the church? No, not none in the gallery either. That young fellow comes along to camp and he has his Louis Vuitton backpack. Some might not know what that is, but it costs €1,000 for a backpack. He has a Louis Vuitton towel and probably lots of other Louis Vuitton things, but his towel costs €500. You could get a brave few towels around Ballymena for that, couldn't you? He comes from that level of society. He's an only child. His parents send him off to camp. That gets rid of him for a couple of weeks during the summer. Then they have the children from the Bernardo's home who come with their little plastic carrier bag with just a few things in it. But every single child that comes to camp has got one specific need, don't they? Because they all need the Savior. No matter what level of society they come from, no matter what material things they have, they all need to come to that realization that they need Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And do pray for the camp ministry. Pray for the leaders that go out to camp. Again, that everything will just work together for good. Glenn said that next year we're hoping to have 4 weeks of camp. Then he said we could have 2 months of camp. Mark and Judith were nearly having a fit because after 3 weeks they're ready to lie down in a hole somewhere and disappear because it's so exhausting, of course, as some of you will know that camp work is. Pray that God will bless them and encourage them there in the work. One of the new, is it not moving on? No? Oh yeah, thank you. Keep going. That's just some of the pictures of camp. Thank you. One of the other things that they do in outreach at Christmas time is Bethlehem Village. And this started a number of years ago because the venue where the church is, the grounds of the church, lend itself to doing this. It's out in the countryside. And they set the whole place all up as Bethlehem Village. And people line up outside. They're lined right down the road to come in. This last year, they had over 800 people. Many of them are local folk who are very suspicious, very skeptical, but yet have come in to Bethlehem Village. They go around the different places that they have set up. They have the wise men, they have the shepherds, they have the innkeeper. They all tell their account of Christmas. And there's a census taken on their way in, so they have to give their name and where they live, which is great because then the team can look back on that and know how many people have come from that specific area as well. And then they go around into the church and they have the nativity scene in the church and then they have a presentation of the gospel on a video. And this goes on all of the weekend, right through Thursday, right through here a Sunday evening whenever they have their carol service. They've invited people to come back. They give them all a goodie bag going out, so they get a Gospel of John, a Gospel of Luke. They get some other literature. They get something for Christmas, and they also get a bar of chocolate. So that's maybe why they come. It's Cadbury's. It's good stuff. But, you know, we thank the Lord for the opportunities of that and for the opportunity of reaching local people with the gospel. Again, people who have never heard the gospel message before. Pray for these outreach. Whenever we were there last year, we were over a couple of times with them last year, thank you. We were in a village called Castella. It's over in the eastern Algarve on the border of Spain. And there's two families. You'll see a picture of Mark Loney, and then there's two couples along with Karen and I up there. I think maybe Victor Maxwell's in the picture too. Those two couples are from England. They retired from England. Actually, one of them, Tony and his wife Sylvia, he was best mates with those guys who were in the Heist there, you know, the bank robbery in London. He was best mates with those guys before he was saved. He didn't rob the bank and then moved to Portugal. But he moved to Portugal a number of years ago, him and his wife, because God had changed their lives, changed their direction in life, and they went to Portugal to reach out to the people there with the gospel. And they came in touch with the other couple, Mervyn and Joan, and again, they were from England. They live in that area of Castellas, and everybody in the town of Castellas knows Tony and Sylvia and Mervyn and Joan. They've got involved in ministry there. They can't speak any Portuguese. It's very much a Portuguese town. They can't speak any Portuguese, just a few basic words, but they have got clothes from people, and they go around and give them out to the poor folk in the town. They get food parcels together, and they take them out and they give them to the poor folk in the town. And the mayor of the town, he's now become best friends with these couple. And we were walking through the town with him as he showed us the plaza there in the middle, and he took us around to different venues in the town and showed us that the hall that the mayor has said to him, you can use this. If you want to start a meeting here, you can use this hall for free. Now, it's about twice the size of this church building. And he said to me, do you think this will be big enough? I says, well, hopefully someday it'll be small, too small, and we'll get lots of people in. But as we walked through the town with him, everybody was shouting at him. The women were in the cafe and they were blowing kisses at him out through the cafe, and he was blowing kisses back at them, and his wife even allowed him to do it. It was amazing, the opportunities that he has had of breaking down barriers in that town. The bottom photograph shows you a picture of the Bible study that started just 3 weeks ago. And they had 20 at the Bible study last week. That is an amazing thing for Portugal. Please pray that God will move. Our team there, Mark and Judith and Barry and Raquel and Glenn, go over every week, different ones, go over every week to take the Bible study there and to share the gospel with the people who are coming in. We're praying that God starts a work in this town, that God raises up a church in this town, an international work, that souls will hear the gospel for the first time and come to know the Savior. Thank you. This is a new couple. We've been praying again that God will call others to come and work with us in the mission. And this couple is called Andrew and Kim McCormick. They're from Belfast. Andrew was a youth pastor in a church there, and Kim is a neonatal nurse in the Royal Victoria Hospital. And they have been accepted into the mission now. They're going to work in the Algarve, in the eastern Algarve, in that town of Castellas, in that area, and Tavira, the Portuguese towns. They're going to be working there. They go over now in June time. They finish work here and they go in June time. They'll be involved in the camp ministry through the summer there in Vale Judeu at the church. And then they'll be going up north to Queenborough to do language study for part of next year, and then come back down again and work there in that area. They'll also be working probably with the international students there in Faro. That's where you fly into if you're coming to the Algarve. In the university there, they'll be hoping to work alongside the university and the international students as well, and the church there in Faro as well. So please pray for them too as they leave home and leave their family. It's not very far away to Portugal nowadays. Jump on a plane and you can get sometimes flights for about £38 return is great. And they're back and forward. Pray that God will bless them as they set up home there, and that God helps them with their language study as well. Thank you. If I could take you, thanks, just go on. If I could take you just 2.5 hours drive north of Faro and the Algarve, it would take you to a little town of Santo André in the Alentejo, the next region up. And there, the work is very different than the Algarve work. It is a very hard work. The people there are very skeptical against the gospel. I was out doing outreach in the market, which is right next door to where our church is there in Santo Santo André just there last year. And as I was going around the market giving out the literature, a man stopped to me and began to talk to me. And he lives in Canada now. He was from that area. And he said, "You are doing a great work here, but," he said, "the people here have no time for any kind of religion." He said, "This area was a great area for farming, very fertile land. We had some very big farmers, rich farmers here." And I know nobody believes there's any rich farmers, isn't that right? But rich farmers in that area, and the Catholic Church came in, the priests and the nuns, and they abused those people. They took their money from them, they took their land from them, and because of that, they are against religion completely. And he said, "You will find that this is the hardest region in all of Portugal, this region." And folks, that's true. But then the scripture reminds us that absolutely nothing is too hard for the Lord, isn't that right? And we have to believe that God is able to change hearts and lives in the town of Santo André. And we ask you to really pray with us that God will move here. Araldo and Emanuela Erez work in that town. Jeffrey Ferguson, he went over just 2 years ago to language school. He's been working over this last year and a half in that area in Santo André. And a girl called Mariana Thiessen, a German girl, she's also there helping the church now. We're very thankful for what God is doing, the little droplets of blessing that God is giving there. I was speaking to Jeff just on the way up in the car. I rang him there tonight on the way up, and he was telling me that 3 new members have come into the church this last week. Now, that's a big thing in Portugal, and we're just rejoicing in that, that God is answering prayer there in the town. Thank you. This is a little building. We bought that just about 4 years ago. It's right down beside Lidl's supermarket. So the next time you go shopping to Lidl's, I want you to remember the wee church in Santo André and be able to pray for it there. Thank you. Again, this is just an aerial view of it as well. They do a market outreach every week because the market, as I said, is right next door. And they do a market outreach there. They give out free tea and coffee and buns and cakes and biscuits and literature there. Not a lot of people will come over. As I said, they're very suspicious. But, you know, one or two come, and we believe that God is answering prayer in the connection with these people. Thank you. Just before Christmas time, we were able to take a team out there with us. There was 10 of us went out, and again, it was a very big breakthrough for us and for the church there. Araldo asked if we could get into the supermarkets and the shops. There's one a wee bit like IKEA sort of thing there, and there's a few other bigger shops there in Santo André. If we could go and we could sing carols in it. Now, this had never been done before. And they said we could stand outside and sing. And then they actually came out and asked us to come right in to the center of the stores and stand and sing the Christmas carol. We also brought over with us 2,000 candy canes. They don't have candy canes over there. And we went to Home Bargains and all these other shops and just raided the shelves some days. And I am glad that customs didn't stop us going through the airport and wonder what we're doing with over 2,000 candy canes in our suitcase. Then we produced that little tract that you see there about the candy cane, the story of that. And so the people got in and out of the supermarkets, the staff in the supermarket, we give them all a candy cane and give them the tract and an invitation to come to the services that we were having, the special services over the weekend in the church. Thank you. We're very thankful that God brought people in. On the Friday night, we had 8 unsaved in. And you know, that's a miracle in Portugal. One of them is a Dutch family. We'd love you to pray for them. They came not only on Friday night, but they came back on Saturday night. They couldn't come on Sunday, but we're very thankful for people like that. Again, those people never, ever have heard the gospel before. What an opportunity. Thank you. Pray for all the literature distribution that they have at the church. Pray for the English-speaking work that they have at the church. Jeff is teaching English to folk like this guy in the bottom picture here. As I said, the outreaches that they have as they go to the villages around that area and as they take the gospel and put it into every home. Thank you. Again, we heard about Fatima earlier on, being talked about, and Fatima is a big thing in our calendar there of outreach in Portugal. Do pray for the team as they go out in May. If you pick up one of our ACRI leaflets on the way out, or magazines, our new magazine, it gives you a list of the teams on the back of it. And maybe there's someone here, and you could give up a week in May or a week in October and come with us to help us at Fatima. You don't have to speak Portuguese. I did a funeral 2 weeks ago of a very, very close friend of ours in England. And Peter and June, we met them whenever Karen and I first got married and moved to England 26 years ago. And I can talk, but I tell you, June swallowed the Blarney Stone. She could talk. And Peter used to sit and tap her on the knee to try and get a word in edgeways, but it didn't work very often. And they're very good friends of ours and have been close friends with ours for years. And Peter and June came to Portugal with us just about 3 years ago. And June talked to everybody. They couldn't understand a word she was saying, but she talked to them anyway. And she did sign language to try and help them to understand what she was talking about, and she gave them literature. So you don't have to speak Portuguese to come with us, But if you could spare a week and come and help us to distribute bottles of water, distribute literature at Fatima, where there's hundreds of thousands of people come to the shrine, thank you. You'll see here in this picture, it just shows you something of the crowd of the people, the vastness of the people. A year and a half ago, we were there, and there was 1.5 million people there because the Pope was there. But yet God gave us so many opportunities of reaching out with the gospel. In our Insight magazine, you'll read of many people that have contacted Araldo, our missionary there in Santo André, and ask for more literature and ask for calendars. Take that and read it. It'll encourage you to pray for Fatima and pray that as the teams go in May and October, that God will bless them and use them, give them opportunities of sharing with many English people that come to, or English-speaking people, that God will give them opportunity of sharing the gospel with those people as well. Thank you. We're going to jump very quickly. I'm very glad to see there's no clock in here, and I have no watch. Somebody said I go by the calendar, not the clock anyway. So very quickly, I want to share a little bit about Lanzarote and our work there. Thank you. We're jumping across the world. Pray for Portugal. Pray for the needs there, that God will open hearts and save souls. Ricardo and Sandra, they're the couple down here in the left-hand bottom picture. They are wearing red hats. They don't normally wear them, but they were at the fire brigade that day, and that's why we took their photograph. Ricardo's the pastor of the church there, and Sandra, they're from Colombia originally, and they're doing a tremendous work there in the church in Lanzarote. That's just a little group of some of the people there at church. They sent me a photograph just last week, and it was double that amount of people. And it's amazing to see the church growing there, God building his church, and people coming from all parts of the world to work in Lanzarote and coming to the church and coming to know the Lord as their Savior. They had a wedding just on the 23rd of December, and they were telling us about the wedding there. The weddings are not like normal weddings we have here. The couple do get married, but it's like a gospel outreach. And they preached the gospel at it in the middle of the service, and they made an appeal, and 4 people trusted Christ as their Savior at that wedding. Isn't that amazing? God's working. They were invited to go into the prison as well as the old folks' homes at Christmas time to do their Christmas outreach program. And they get into the prison every month, but in the prison, when they went with their team there to do their Christmas outreach, the guard at the door said, "I'm sorry, but there's a strike on in here. You can't come into this part of the prison, but you can go to the ladies' part of the prison." And so they went there. God doesn't make mistakes. And they said they had about 20 ladies that came to the service, and a number of them also trusted Christ as their Savior. And we're rejoicing what God is doing here in Lanzarote. And they've been so faithful and plugging along and plodding along and keep going to all of these things. Bible study in the prison. They're reaching the folk in the old folks' home. You see, many of those people have never heard the gospel before and sadly will never hear it again. Pray as the seed is planted that it will come to fruition in lives. Thank you. We took a team out last summer to Lanzarote, thank you, because we wanted to do our children's camp out there. This was the very first children's camp that they've ever done. They were a wee bit scared about it, but we were very thankful for the Lord undertaking for us. We brought the team out. There was a team of about 25 altogether, including the Spanish workers and the young people from the church, and also we had 25 children to start off with this year. We said we'd keep it small, and then next year it'll grow, or this year hopefully it'll grow a bit more, and I said next year we'll have 2 weeks of camp, and then the year afterwards we'll have 3. And poor Sandra, she was sweating, thinking about it all. Amazing that 16 children out of the 25 that we had were non-church children. Those children have never heard the gospel. They've never been in contact with the gospel before. Their homes probably have never been in contact with the gospel. And yet over a week of camp, we had opportunity of being able to teach them the word of God. We were doing sword drill with them. And Sandra and Ricardo said, sword drill doesn't work here because they've never had a Bible. They've never seen a Bible, most of them. And so they wouldn't be able to find the places in it. So we said, well, we'll start with the gospel of John and we'll show them where the gospel of John is. And then we'll choose all the verses out of the gospel of John. And then the next day we did the Gospel of Luke and so on. And by the end of the week, they were nearly killing each other trying to find the verses first. And anyone that didn't have a Bible, with the opportunity of giving them a Bible home with them. And we're praying this is just the beginning of greater thing in the coming days. Please pray for the camp. We're going back again this year for camp. It's the first full 2 weeks of August. Details of that are on the back there. And if you'd like to come to Lanzarote and help us in our camp, we would love you to come and join us. We have a team, some young people coming already. And we're really looking forward to camp, God willing, in August time again. And do come, or if you know anyone that's interested in coming to join us on the team, we would love to have them. Thank you. And there's just a few pictures here of camp. Our camp is in a Catholic retreat center because it's the only place to have camp in Lanzarote. And we asked the priest if we could cover up the statues and the crucifix, and he didn't allow us to touch them. So we turned the chairs the other way around that we didn't have to look at them. But you know, we asked the people to come up from Arasifi, from the church on Sunday, to come up and have church at camp. And it was amazing the amount of parents that also came. And we had the place completely packed out. And that was amazing to see that. And I know people were praying for the camp and were so encouraged by what God is doing through that. And the contact that Ricardo and Sandra have now with all of those parents, not only the children, do pray for that. Thank you. Again, lots of activities and things. Just keep going because I can talk all day. Yep, keep going. The team not only did camp, but we were doing involved in outreach as well. One of the things that we want to do in Lanzarote also is we want to take the gospel to every home there. And so whenever we have maybe a morning free or an afternoon free, we take the team out and we go to a village or a town and we distribute literature to every home in that town. And this is just one or two of the pictures. We also had open-air cinema outside because, of course, you have the weather there to be able to do that. We have open-air children's clubs as well out in the plazas and different housing developments. Ricardo also does, in the bottom right-hand picture, he does a hospital service every Friday afternoon, an opportunity of reaching patients with the gospel. He's a chaplain in the hospital. He's able to go around the beds, talk to all of the patients, pray with them, give them literature, and we thank God for that ministry. Thank you as well. We do thank the Lord for the team we had, and again, as I've said, if there's any young people who would like to come and join us on the team this year, we'd be very glad of them to come with us. Thank you. Pray for some of the children. The little boy, the second one over here from the left in the bottom, is called Diego. And Diego comes from a Buddhist home. His father's a Buddhist monk. And towards the end of camp, he came to one of the leaders and he spoke to him and he said, I want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've listened this week. I realize that I'm a sinner. And Samuel sat with him and he talked with him and he took him through the scriptures. And then Samuel came back to us and he said, I've told him to go away and think about it because I wanted to be so real to him. Not just something that's emotional, but something that's real. And that young fellow, Samuel, sat up half of the night getting verses of scripture together to talk to Diego. He said, if you really mean what you're saying to me, I want you to come back to me in the morning and talk to me again. If you really mean it. And Diego came back to him very clearly, sought the Savior. And do pray for him. As I said, his father's a Buddhist monk. He practices that. But he does come to the church sometime and pray that this will be the beginning of greater things in that family. And again, in the other families, I haven't time to speak about so many of these kids that come from so many difficult backgrounds, broken homes, difficult drug addict parents and so on. And we really thank the Lord for the opportunity we have with them. Thank you. I've told the folk here, I'm sure, before about these ladies. The lady in the middle, the older lady, is the mother of these two other ladies. Her name is Margarita. And Margarita trusted the Lord 2 years ago at 91 years of age. And she's so on fire for God. It just thrills your heart to see her. You know, she's no teeth, but she comes at you to give you a big kiss on the lip. The folk there in the church are so warm-hearted. I don't know whether, again, I've said to the folk in Brookside, they have a welcome song that they sing in the morning and evening services. And everybody gets up and they greet each other and they kiss each other. So you're covered in lipstick all over your face by the time you've finished with it. But they're so warm-hearted. And it's wonderful to see this lady going on with God. She never came into the church until she was 90 years of age. Her daughter on the right-hand side of her, she was a member of the church for a number of years. Her daughter on the left-hand side of her, Rosa, again, wasn't saved, but because her son in the other picture and his wife got saved and came to the church, Rosa started to come too, and Granny started to come. And as I said, Granny got saved. And we prayed for Rosa, and I was actually up in Bally Baptist one night, and I was saying to the folk there, I want you to pray for Rosa now that she'll get saved. It's one Tuesday night at their Bible study. And the next morning, I get a phone call to tell me that Rosa had trusted the Lord the night before. You see, God answers prayer, doesn't it? We believe that, and we thank God for what he's doing there in the church in Lanzarote. Thank you. Very quickly, I've no idea what time it is, so don't even look at your watches. I want to take you just very quickly and finally to Brazil, the country the mission was started in. Thank you. And to just tell you about one or two of the people here, we had a team there again in the summertime. We stay with a family there in Manaus, in the city, the D'Souza family, who are a tremendous family. Thank you. They own the Christian schools there, two of the Christian schools that we work alongside with and have got very involved in. And many people who have a little prayer calendar pray for the eBay schools there in Manaus. They're reaching 600 children every single day with the gospel. Isn't that amazing? And out of that school, it's been going for 25 years. There's pastors, there's evangelists, there's missionaries, there's doctors and so on right across the world tonight. Because God put it in their hearts 25 years ago to start a school, not to make money, but to reach boys and girls with the gospel. And we're very thankful for what God is doing there. Thank you. There's another little work, and I'm sure Billy and Agnes were in it many times. This little work in Barra Nova, it's a very, very poor area of the town, of the city of Manaus. And every time we take a team there, they come back with this wee place in their hearts. And the children there, very difficult backgrounds they come from. I haven't time to speak about that. Very, very poor area. But we're able to raise some money before Christmas every every year and send it out to them to buy Christmas presents. You see the little girl there with her Christmas present, and right through the year to buy food parcels and clothes and shoes and so on, and keep the hall going. We're able to do that every year, and we're very thankful for that, and for Cesar and Sulamita, the couple who work there tirelessly with the kids. And it's lovely. Every week and Sundays, I get a photograph through or a video through from the work there. The kids singing or doing their memory verses. And even once or twice, we've had the joy of being able to watch children come to Christ as they've been led to the Savior. And that really thrills our hearts just to see what God is doing. And pray for these kids, that as they grow up, that they'll be raised up as men and women of God in the days ahead. Thank you. These are just some of our children's workers in Manaus that work there. Altina and Eliani work in the public schools. The two fellows that you see there is George and Jonas, who also work alongside them in the schools too. Pray for them. Again, you'll read about them in the magazine. One of the things that they ask us to pray for is that God will send more workers, because there's so many doors of opportunity opening in the school, and they've no one to work, no one to send. Pray that God will raise up others with a burden to reach the children for Christ. Thank you. This man is called Hamundo Nanato. You need your teeth in to say his name. He works in the market in Manaus, so he works in the market that you see here, which would be like more a touristy kind of market. He works in the meat market, the fish market, the vegetable market, and the fruit market, right along the port of Manaus where the boats are, giving out literature. Most of that literature comes from Every Home Crusade, down beside us, down there in Dromara, and we are very thankful for him and for the work that he does. From 6 o'clock in the morning right through to 4:30 every day, he shares the gospel with people, stands and talks to them about the Lord, witnesses to them. People are coming and going all the time, getting on the boats, traveling up the rivers. Who knows where that one track goes? Who knows what God can do through that one track as it reaches lives all over Brazil and further afield? Thank you. Tom and Lucy Margetis, please pray for them. Tom and Lucy are working in Rio Branco in Acre, and they'll be going back tomorrow morning to Brazil. Tom is, now, if he knew I told you this, he would take my head off. Tom is 83. Now, if you're 83 here, I'm not saying you're old, all right, but it's a long journey. They fly to London. They have a 12-hour journey then, a flight to São Paulo in the south of Brazil. And then they have another flight, which is probably about 6 hours, up into Acre State to Rio Branco. Please pray for them. Pray for them for their safety there, because Rio Branco is a very, very dangerous place. There's murders every single day there. It doesn't matter who you are. If you have any kind of money, they'll take it from you. They can't go out at night, because if you stop your car to traffic lights at night, you could have a gun pointed at your head. They'll take your car, they'll take whatever else you have, and sometimes they'll take your life. That's the situation they're going back into in Rio Branco. But Lucimar and Tom are involved in school ministry. Thank you. And we're very thankful for God opening so many doors of opportunity. Lucimar has to be here in the UK because she's applied for her UK visa. We're 4 years into that process now, thank the Lord. And she's only allowed out now until out of the country, out of the UK, until April time. So they're just over for a few months. And then once she's back again here, she's another year before she'll get her visa, where she's not allowed out of the UK at all, not even one day. She had exams to do, 2 English exams. The lady who gave her papers for that told her, you'll not get these exams. She got 2 A stars. That's what God can do. Then she had to do an exam on the culture of Britain. I would say there's not too many of us in this church would even pass that exam. And she was telling us that all these kings and queens and these people I'd never heard of in my life. It was a book that thick that she had to learn. And she passed it with flying colour. Again, and that's what God can do. But again, this last year of process, please pray for that. And at the end of this next year, April 2020, we hope that she'll get her UK visa through. But she sits in Lurgan at the kitchen table, and she coordinates all the work there. 138 teachers that are teaching the Bible for her and teaching these Bible studies. Thank you. And we're very thankful for that. Do pray for that. Her sister is called Lucileni. She lives in a little town in the middle of the jungle called Feijão. And there again, God's working in that town. Through our pastor there, through Lucileni, she had over 90 in her home just before Christmas time in an outreach program, giving them food parcels, giving them clothes parcels. Again, God is working in the town. Thank you. Our pastor there is called Pastor Ageo. He is working in the town, but he's also working outside the town, walking 4 kilometers into the forest to reach this Indian tribe with the gospel. They've been in for 3 years, bringing in gifts at the very beginning, winning the tribe over, and now they have opportunity of going in and preaching the gospel in this tribe. They've also started a youth work and a children's work in the tribe. And over the last 3 years, 12 of the tribal people have come to know Christ as their Savior. That's exciting to see what God is doing. Please pray that the Lord continues to move, and that Ageo and the team there will have the joy of pointing many many others to the Savior. Thank you. Just before Christmas time, again the 23rd of December, there was two couples got married that knew Tom and Lucimar. They didn't ask for wedding presents. They told their friends, we don't want you to bring us anything, but we want you to bring food. Now, not for the reception, but we want to bring food that we can make up food parcels, that we can be a witness in this town and give them out to the people of the town. And so that's what they did. Thank you. And so here you see them the day after their wedding with the food parcels made up and a team of people, and they were able to distribute that food around the town. Not only that, but they asked Tom and Lucimar for Bibles, for literature, and every single bag of food got a Bible put into it, got literature put into it, and they're praying that God will use this to break down barriers in the town and that folk will come to know the Saviour. And do pray for Tom and Lucimar as they're involved in this particular ministry as well. Thank you. Dr. Bill Woods, many folk ask about Bill. Bill Woods is home at the moment from Brazil. He is having treatment, chemotherapy for cancer. Do pray for him. He hasn't been so well with that. Pray the Lord will continue to touch him and help him. Somebody was telling me they were down with him visiting him the other day, and he had his brochures all out for his flights back to Brazil. So that's what he's hoping. Once he gets the treatment finished, he's hoping to be on the next plane he can get back to Brazil again and back to the work there in Rio Branco and with the hospital and with the leprosy program. Thank you for praying for Bill as well. Again, I haven't time to speak about these workers because I know time is probably gone. These are the workers, some of them in Acre, thank you, and some of the other workers in Amazonas, Pastor Fabio Mar and his wife Marilene, who are doing a tremendous work there. It's in the middle of the jungle, of the forest. There's only dirt roads into it. You get in by plane or by boat, and yet God is working here in this town. There's about 450 in the church there now, and God's continuing to work and save souls. And these pastors never stop working. They continue on with radio ministry every day, with outreach work, meetings every day. It's amazing to see just their stamina and their vision and their passion to reach out and see souls come to Christ. Thank you. Again, the northeast of Brazil. It's about 3,500 miles away from our workers in Acre, right up where Billy and Agnes would have worked and Sarah would have lived, away up there in the northeast corner of Brazil. And we're so thankful for the workers there. Pastor Iran, he is the leader of our work there, the field leader of the work. Pastor Suarez, thank you. And then these are just some of the other workers who we're not going to take time to speak of tonight and the work that they do. Up in the top left-hand corner is Pastor Junior and his wife Christina, and they're working at a little place called Nisa Floresta. And again, we were over a few years ago opening a new church building there. Exciting to see the place full of people. But they're not content with just that little church in that little village. They're reaching out to the villages around them, and they've got two church plants going at the minute and hoping to build churches in those two particular villages as well, or two particular towns in the coming year. And then, thank you, just recently, just after Christmas time, this new pastor and his wife, Pastor, his name has gone out of my head now, I have it here in front of me, Pastor Abraham and his wife Priscilla have just joined the work, and they've been working alongside Pastor Junior and Isa Floresta, but they're working at a little place now called San Jose. And do pray for them, that God will open doors of opportunity there, that they'll get a place to have their meetings, that as they reach out into that town of San Jose, that many folk will come in under the sound of the gospel, and we'll see another church planted there in that particular area. It's amazing to see what God is doing, isn't it? And we thank God for his work right across the world, and for these nationals that are serving the Lord with us. Thank you, all these different places. Just keep going, thank you. Do pray for Victor and Audrey Maxwell, who work with us, that the Lord will continue to bless them and strengthen them. Thank you. That's just us. You can pass that by. Thank you for praying for us as a family. I want to finish with this picture here, because this reminds us that night comes when no man can work. And over the last number of weeks and months, verses that have been very, very much in my heart have been well-known verses in Luke chapter 16. It reminds us there in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 about the rich man and Lazarus, doesn't it? We know the account so well, I'm sure. How that these two men, the Lord Jesus gives the account of them. The rich man had everything in life. He had a well-dressed and well-furnished table, lived in a beautiful home. But Jesus wasn't saying it was wrong to have these things. He wasn't saying it was a sin to be rich, but to put all of these things before God and before salvation is wrong. And then it tells us about the poor man who lay at his gate full of sores, just desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. That the dogs came and added to his affliction, and they licked his sore. But then it goes on to tell us, Jesus says that these two men died. It's not a surprise to us, is it, that these men died, especially the beggar. But I'm sure for the rich man, it maybe came unannounced and uninvited into his home. But it tells us that he died and was buried. But then it goes on to say that in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he cried out for mercy. And then he said, "Send Lazarus." But the words that have been coming to my mind over the last number of weeks and months has been "send someone." Why? Because outside the doors of this church tonight, there's family, and there's friends, and there's neighbors, and there's work colleagues, and there's people who go maybe to school or university with us who are lost without the Savior. And those people, the Bible tells us, if they don't know Christ, are just like the rich man. That one day they'll lift their eyes in a lost eternity and they'll cry out for mercy, but it's too late. I've often sat and thought of maybe some of my loved ones who are in a lost eternity who have cried out, "Send someone, send someone." We are very privileged in Northern Ireland. We have the gospel all around us. You see it on the lampposts, texts. You see it written at the side of churches, verses. We have had so many thousands of tracts handed into our hands. Heard open-air meetings, sat in churches just like this church, and we've heard the gospel so faithfully proclaimed time and time and time again. And can I just say, maybe you're here tonight and you're a good person, and you come to church and you're religious, but that's not enough. You need to come to the Savior, the only one who can change your life, and the only one who can change the lives of those around us tonight. Over this last 2 weeks, we've been sitting with a very, very close friend of ours, who's passing through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know whether he's even here now, just as I talk tonight, because he was so low just earlier on today. I sat with him last Monday. He asked me to come to the room to talk to him. He was so weak, lying in bed. And we talked and we cried together. And we arranged his funeral. And he said to me, "You know, there's a whole lot of people, a whole lot of people that'll be at my funeral service that are good people. And they're religious people. And they're church people, but they're not saved. And I don't want you to talk about me. I want you to tell them about my Savior, that he's changed my life, and that he can change our lives too." Isn't it wonderful that we have a Savior to tell to the nations? We have a Savior who can change lives tonight, whether it's in Brazil, whether it's in Portugal, whether it's in the Canary Islands, whether it's here in Ajaxo. We have a Savior that's worth serving. And may God help us to do that. Thank you for praying for us and for our workers. We really appreciate that. Do take the magazine with you tonight. And again, have a read at it. And if you want to ask me any questions afterwards, I'll try to answer them for you if I can. We're going to